A very good morning to you, my dear listeners, and thank you very much, Francina, for that educative information that you have given us. So, very good morning to you, Namibia. How are you feeling this morning? So, how are you feeling so far? It's a Saturday morning, the 29th of the 11th month, as Francina said, it's only one day left until we get into the last month of the year. It's my birthday month anyway. So, and I was born on the very last of the day. Okay, let me make it so easier. Was born on the very last day of the year, but also born at the very last hour of the year. So just at the edge, I was nearly January. Yeah. So I just right at 11 at 12:59, you know, just at 12:59 or 11:59. So I don't know which one, 11:59 or 12:59. I don't know which one now. So, but the last hour of the year. All right. The last minute, the last second of the year. Good morning and welcome to Mind Matter on Eagle FMs. So as usual, this is your program where we're looking at things that are happening in our life, especially that are happening that have to do with our own well-being, you know, that have to do with our own well-being, especially, you know, those psychological patterns and social factors that affect how we think, how we feel, and how we make choices in life. That's what this program is all about. And from 11 up to 1 o'clock, we call this time Mental Health Hours, where we allow you, we give you a platform where you can come through and also share what you are going through. Share your emotional distress, share your problems, share your troubles. Maybe there's no one you can talk to. So we create this platform for you to come through and talk to me, you know. So talk to me. And I always promise that if I cannot help, you know, I can always refer you to someone that can, you know, help you. But also what we want when we're discussing a topic, we also want you to come through and share your personal experience, because that's how we reach each other. That's how we enrich each other. That's how we, you know, our experience. Others can learn from our experience, you know, from what we're going through. So maybe someone is going exactly through the same thing as you are right now. And, you know, and when they hear that, then they can think, well, so I'm not the only one who's actually going through this. So, yeah. So that can become also something when someone listening to what to your experience can also then relate to that and see, oh, I can be able to do that as well. So if she can do that, if he can do that, well, I can do that as well. Or learning from what you're doing. So the other person just think, maybe I have been trying this and this and this doesn't work. When they hear that you have been trying this and you've been successful, give them courage to go on, keep courage to push on. So, and think, I am on the right path. So, yeah, this is the platform we created. Eagle FM have created for you to, you know, to also talk about ourselves. Much of the time we talk about what is going on in our life. And of course, what is going on in our life contributed to how we feel and we normally how we behave. So let's get ourselves right first. Let's get ourselves right first. Let's clean up our upstairs. All right. Once our upstairs are clean up, you know, probably everything will go right. So good morning, Namibia, and welcome to another episode of Mind Matter. And today we are tackling a question that is on, how would I say, that's on many women's mind. Today we're talking about women, all right? Well, men, don't go away, because this would definitely also affect you. Oh, you are actually involved. You're part of this. Don't go away. You're part of this. So what is on the woman's mind? What happens when your dating pool grows thin, when your dating pool grows smaller and smaller and smaller? Now, So we're looking at, as women grow older, as women get older, it can often feel like the dating scene or the dating market is getting smaller and smaller. When you're in your 30s or late 30s and early 40s, well, dating scene or your market, your dating market is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And the guys probably you're interested. And we're going to talk about this. I will have someone, actually I will have Frida Ndunge Iyambo, who will join me just in a few minutes. So I'll call her and we will going to discuss quite a lot of stuff. All right. Make sure that you stuck around. So what I was saying is that, so as your market actually grows smaller and smaller, you start to feel that, you know, the guys maybe you're interested in are already, you know, are already in a relationship and, they're just not looking at the same thing you are looking at or you are interested at. And if you're seeking commitment, for example, you are at that age, you know, late 30s and 40s, you're looking for commitment. You're looking for emotional maturity, guys that are emotional mature, you know, where you're looking for serious connections. And your option, you know, it doesn't seem to be plentiful anymore as it was in your 20s, you know? So that's what we're looking at. And I'm not just talking about now when I'm not just talking about the numbers. Okay. I'm not just talking about numbers, in terms of, you know, men, how many men are available. I'm not just talking numbers. It's also about quality. So it's also about quality. So at this stage of your life, at this stage of these women, most of them are looking for a deeper connection. They're looking for a deeper connection. They're looking for a real relationship built on shared values, you know, built on shared values, on emotional stability and mutual respect. That's what they're looking at. That's what they're looking at. And so at this point in time, they're not just looking for fun, you know. They're not just looking for fun date or flink. They're looking for that real mutual respect and real connection. Now you ask yourself, and this is could be you. Now you're asking yourself, where do you find those kind of men? Where do you find those kind of men? And now those who want the relationship built on shared values and emotional stabilities and mutual respect. Where do you find them? And how do you navigate dating landscape that sometimes, you know, sometimes feel like it's actually heading in a direction you are not sure you're ready for. All right. So this morning, what we're going to do, we're going to explore the changing dynamic of dating for women in their late 30s and early 40s. So we discuss the pressure. We're going to discuss the pressure to conform to the society expectations. So when you reach a certain age as a woman, there are certain societal expectations, and that can be very, 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 very pressurizing, you know, can be very pressurizing. And also we're going to look at the impact of the past relationship, because this is someone who probably have been, you know, in several relationships, you know, the experience that you carry could be a baggage or could be wisdom. You understand? It could be a baggage or it could be a wisdom. So we're going to look at that as well. Maybe bring in also online dating and look at some pros and cons of online dating. And there is issue. There is also an issue, age gap and power dynamics. So all this we're going to look at. And even now, say for example, you have been divorced or you actually break up and you know you want to re-enter into the dating scene. What are the issues that you're going through? You know, what are the issues that you are going through? And finally, how do you break free from the ageism? You know, those that ageism and traditional beauty standard. So you have to keep up. Now you're competing with the young ones, you know, to keep up the traditional beauty standard. So as you can see, there's so much that we're going to talk about. And I hope you join me and Ndunge. as we redefine Romans. We're going to redefine Romans and relationship for this generation of women. We're going to and I'm talking about the women in their 30, late 30s and early 40s. So it's time to embrace love on our terms. And in its all its form, whatever, in whatever form it is. So that's time. So let's explore what it truly means to navigate, you know, the dating world where your market is growing thin and thin. So your thought and experience also matter. And so share them with us throughout the show. So you will be allowed to, you know, to call it and share your experience, as I said earlier on. So welcome to Mind Matters. And before we get into that, and before I, you know, get to my guest this morning, let's actually start off, you know, with some musical break. It's not a break. It's just introduction into what we're talking about today. We're talking about love, and let's get into some love song. And there's no song that is expressed love than Ringo Mankinko Z, you know, into ya. But I'm gonna give you a remix one with that guy from Zimbabwe, Evantukuzi, you know. So Ringo Mankinko Z coming with the song Into Yam. I will see you on the other side of the discussion.
Hello, Kumazan. Hello, Mzikana. Kunjani naku.
Hello.
Yeah, before we start with your Ingo or whatever, good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Before you commence with your song.
Yeah.
I have listened to your introduction.
Yeah, and we haven't started.
Yeah, but yeah. That the preamble that you started with is...
yeah, so what is it?
Let's play the song first, then I will come back later.
All right, okay.
Okay, good.
That's Ringo Matrinko Z, you know, coming to you with that Into Yam, one of the beautiful, 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 beautiful song, love song. Very, very, very beautiful words there. So thanks for coming. What happened? All right. So, yeah, good morning and welcome. Welcome to Mind Matters. I nearly said unpacking the day. Good, welcome to Mind Matters. Yeah, as I have given you already the introductions, that we are actually speaking today. We're looking at what happened. You know, what happened when your dating pool actually grows thin, and specifically, we're looking at a certain age. You know, when you come to a certain age. You know, especially we're looking at we're focusing on women of the age of late 30s and early 40s. So there are issues that we're going to be discussing pertaining to, you know, dating market, especially for women in that age categories. And I have someone, you know, with me, my guest, and actually a friend of mine is Frida Dunge. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mike.
Can you hear me?
I can. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
Now I can hear you very well. So good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing this morning?
I'm okay. You don't sound too good.
No,
is it the topic that we discussed?
You know, it
depressing?
Could be the topic. It could be the topic, Mike, because it's so real. It's real, yes. And then I was listening to you do the introduction, and I'm thinking to myself,
yeah,
does it change after the 40s? You know, is it early? Is it better? It's mid 40s to 50s up.
Yeah,
you know, does it get better or does it, what happens there? But anyway, I know it's real.
Yeah, where you can say, okay, I'm going to just go through that because I know it's going to be better after
it's that.
It's
going to get
it?
Better, yeah. Let me just hold on. Is there hope?
No, there is a hope. There is a hope. Don't worry.
There has to be, because this cannot be the reality. But, you know, it is what it is. The dating pool does get thinner. And, you know, I was thinking about the topic earlier this morning.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, while we're saying it gets thinner, because for anything to get thin, it must have been thick to begin with. Because
yeah.
Right now, it's almost like it's non-existent. Like you want to almost forget that at some point, you know, things were much better and there were more prospects than what it is now.
Yeah.
Because it feels like such a distant past.
Mm.
Right? It's almost like you can't remember those days anymore. I'm running now. But I remember having a conversation not so long ago saying, you know, for people my age, I'm early 40s.
Yeah.
It would have been easier had you actually met your partner in say high school or varsity.
Yeah.
Right? Because then the two of you grow together and then you become this, you are in unison with one another.
Yeah.
And apart from the group, dating pool becoming slower, it's also the fact that now at my age, Mike, I know what I want.
Yeah.
I know what I don't want. I've already, so to say, established where my life is going. And I did that on my own over the years.
Yeah.
Now, the added challenge to thinning pool is the fact that I now need to find someone who can align with my plans and me align with their plans.
Yeah.
Exactly. That makes it difficult.
Yeah. So now, actually, you just highlight a few things that maybe we can get into on individual aspect. Okay, but let's start. When we're talking about the dating pool actually growing thin, is it really growing thin, or it is actually maybe the, as you said, I'm now making choices aligning to to my goal, to the person I have become, and all that.
Yeah.
And then that in itself create, you know, you don't know what you want. Okay. But there are a few things that I want us to touch at, first of all. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that we can look at is that, now this is something that I normally talk to women, especially of this age, and said, okay, this is not an absolute, but it's a reality of life. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what happened is that, so when, let's look at one aspect and we can discuss that. Now, when you come, the reason why also it's becoming a very small pool for your dating market is that, you know, the men that you're looking for, okay? So if you are in the early 40s, you're not really looking down, okay?
No, I'm not.
If you are in the early 30s, in your late 30s, you're not looking down. You're not looking to the guys that are in there, 25, 26, 27,
no,
or whatever,
no.
Or 30. You're looking actually up. Women are always looking up.
Yeah.
You know? They don't look back. They look
up. We are forward thinking.
You are forward people. We are more than one, like go back, okay?
Yeah.
Now, what happened is that you're actually looking at the guys that are in their early 40s and also maybe in their late 40s, a little bit in the mid
late 40s,
late 40s as well. Those are the guys that you're looking at. Okay. Now, but those guys are not actually looking at your age group. They're looking beyond that. They're looking at the 25,
And that's the problem.
Yeah, the 20, the 21, the 25, the 26, late 20s. They are looking
at
those.
And that's the problem, Mike, because they are looking at the younger ones. And
exactly.
And to add to that is that the younger ones are very proactive. You know, some of us are still very traditional. I would never approach a guy, Mike, right? Because that's not the era that I come from. So it doesn't matter how much I'm feeling you.
Yeah.
I would give you indication
okay.
So that you then, you know, approach me.
Give us a secret. Give us a secret. Maybe we guys are stupid. I can tell you.
No, but the problem is we are very stupid.
Tell us. Give us even just one clue, you know,
I'm giving you
a hint, man. Come, you know?
But the problem is, even if I do give you the hint,
yeah,
because I'm not proactive like that.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that's where my proactiveness ends. The younger ones, they are straight up. They come to you and they say, "Yo, Mike, I'm feeling you," right?
Yeah.
So even if you had any intentions of approaching me, even if you even if it meant that you needed more time to recognize my hints, you will no longer be able to, because this person is so loud, and they are very loud, the young ones. Eh?
Yeah, of course they.
And they are very available. And yeah. then we are now what we are termed to be hard to get, which is not the case. It's just, you know, the era that we come from. That is what we were raised to be, that a woman does not have.
It's actually not hard to get. It's actually kind of your filtering. You kind of know what you want and what you don't want. From the very beginning, you can tell the
exactly.
guy, no, you're not. You are out.
Exactly.
You are out already.
Yes.
Don't even start.
Right?
Yeah.
So the challenge is you know, the multiple facets to the challenge. Not just the number. I mean, statistics, and not just in the ratio of male to female,
yeah.
but also then just the you know the other external factors, you know, that relate to, like I said, our approaches. You asked about the head. You know, us not being hunters, I would just, you know, we make ourselves available, but very subtle.
Yeah.
You know, when I say subtle, you need to really be intentional to pick up a grown woman, go ahead to say, you know what, you can approach me, because I also know that we're not very approachable.
But the point, the other point that I wanted to really understand here, the difficulties, which is real, is that, you know, women at that, so that we are not delusional, you know, we are not delusional, you know where you are. One is that you are actually in competition with younger women.
Very much.
The guys that you want, the people that you want, the handsome, you know, the one have a live on his own and they are not living with mommy and, you know.
We're not being mama boys. No, we're not being mama's boys.
Yeah, exactly. So, and all the, you know, all this, you know, the guys that this young woman want is what you're competing with, you know.
Yes.
And then now the challenge is that the guy you want, and I'm going to say in the hard way, is actually not looking at you.
And that's it, right?
You know, and
they're not looking at us. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not looking at you, and that's where now we said, you know, we need maybe. This is where now you coming in and said, as women, maybe we need to rethink, you know, the way we're looking at this. That maybe we go far beyond that, or we're also looking down.
But you know what the challenge is, right?
Yeah.
If we go down, there is what we call, in Afrikaans, menewaardig complex, you know, where the inferiority issues that then are brought along with trying to get with a man that is in any sense lower than you, whether it's in age or whether it's in, economic, financial, status or development.
Mm.
Because, again, we as much as we want to be woke, as they say, we cannot run away from our natural and traditional roles of what a man is and what a woman is.
Yeah.
And I'll give a clear example. I remember a few years ago, Gabriela Union, they made a statement very boldly with her husband that they are 50-50 in their marriage, right?
Yeah.
And of late, very recently, she came back to say that she was wrong.
Mm.
And it was because of past traumas and learned and conditioning of the mind that she took on that position, but she realized that it wouldn't work. So that for me just goes to emphasize that we cannot run away from the traditional roles of a man and a woman, the natural roles of a man within a relationship. So now, having to now go down or lower my standards, as it's popular said. It creates a challenge because now he's not older than you. And, if he's younger than you in terms of age, or if he's not making more than you, then he now feels that you are walking
over,
you know, over him.
Yeah.
So that creates a dynamic and a complexity that just becomes a lot to deal with. And
which for you you no longer, you know, a woman become attracted to someone they respect.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that, whatever constitutes respect, whether it's, you know, so when now you go down, which could become a challenge, is that this, I don't respect this person in whatever way we can define what respect that is. You understand?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it can become, but I also beg to differ, because if a man remains within his role as the head.
Yeah.
And if a woman remains within her role of honoring this man, I still want to believe. Call me naive, call me optimistic, but I still have hope for love.
definitely.
So
we're not shutting out love here. We're just highlighting certain challenges.
Yeah,
so that we are not delusional to this fact. Yeah.
So again, going back to what the point that I was trying to make is that if we maintain our roles, irrespective of age, I think, and economic status, I really still feel that perhaps we can still make it. I would want to believe that.
Yeah.
I would want to believe that, but generally, it can be a challenge if a woman looks at, and this is why we opt to rather not, because many of us have tried that route, and it has oftentimes, and I have this discussion with many women, you know, and especially with this, within this age group, like you said, you know, mid to late 30s to early 40s, we have tried that route, and it has not worked. It has not yielded fruit. And I don't know whether it's the psyche of the men, or the quality of men that we have, or we just made very wrong choices. But could it really be that all of us made wrong choices?
Yeah, no, definitely. It could be both.
It could be both, yes.
Yeah. Mm.
You're right.
Yeah.
So, you know, lowering the standards or looking down becomes a challenge. But now they're also, like you highlighted, those that would now be of our caliber, which are now the, you know, early 40s, mid-40s, early 50s, they are also going through their own set of developmental challenges, you know. Let's not ignore midlife crises.
Yeah. No, the thing is this. Okay, that's a good point that you're making. The thing is that if they are single, then they are coming out of a divorce.
Oh yes, yes, definitely. Well,
because they must have been in a committed relationship.
Yeah, no. At that age, this is what we need to expect. That if at our age, someone is coming out of a marriage, someone is carrying some level of trauma and hurt, and you know.
Yeah.
That is almost expected, but we're hoping that there is some healing that takes place before we jump back into the pool.
And exactly. And when you find them, they are not looking for commitment anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they just look for short term, you know, kind of pleasure, rather entertainment, rather than actually a commitment, because that's what they are running away from.
Because they're running away from it, yes.
Yeah, that's the experience that they have, you know.
Yeah.
So you see that dynamic in itself. But there's also this pressure. Let's look at this cultural pressure. You mentioned it at one point in your saying. There's something that women are expected. There's often this societal pressure that women should have it all. You should have figured it out by this time when you are 30 and your late 30s and your 40s. Now, so that's including now having a family, you know, your relationship should be in orders. And that can create a really now a feeling of agency. You know?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Or even sometimes of a shame. You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that becomes really a pressure, you know?
It does.
To women in this age. Because traditional, you are expected to have achieved this traditional milestone like marriage,
you know,
or children.
What do they say? Sorry to cut you, Mike. You know, they say, you know, Shibambu Omvrotadi.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. And we've had women, I personally know of many of my mates who have gotten into marriages because of that very way of thinking on Burotabi.
Yeah.
And, you know, literally would say it to you. They would say, no, but what choice did I have, you know? And because there is the pressure, you know, and it comes from, it's not just, when we talk about society, we're not talking about the neighbors, or we're talking about at home even.
Yeah.
Where your mom will ask you, Anunatangongwe, what, you know?
What is going on with you?
What's going on with you? Why haven't you found someone yet, you know?
Yeah.
Why are you chasing men away? Not recognizing that, you know, the game has changed. It's so different from how our parents had it. You know, compared to how we are, because there are so many variables that have now come to play that were not there before. And these variables, like you said earlier, impact how we see the world. Because if I make my own money, I don't want a man that cannot make his own money, because we're supposed to complement each other and we're supposed to walk with each other.
Yeah.
Whereas in our parents' time, there was no talk of her making her own money.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
Mm. Right? So it was almost clear cut, whereas here we need to navigate so many other elements that were not there before.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so, that the time is going. We biological clock pressure. It's real. And
you know, can I just say something? And can I touch on that?
Yeah.
You know, the biological clock. And that even also just adds another complexity to the whole situation.
Mm.
Because I can't find a man to marry me, does not mean that I have to miss out on the joy of motherhood.
Yeah.
Because the technology is available to me to then now mother a child with or without a physical man present in my life.
Mm.
So that also now adds to the challenges with finding or not finding someone on men actually really. In fact, not just men, but even women just thinking, do I actually really need a man?
Yeah.
Right? And then also men just feeling, and I say this, and this is what I've picked up also with conversations with men feeling that women no longer need them or want them.
Yeah.
So they don't make the effort anymore as well.
Yeah, because definitely this is also coming from where we're coming from, evolutionally, you know?
Yeah.
Where those are like instinctive, gene, if you like, within us, you understand?
Yeah.
So no matter how, you would always look at the man as a provider.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And if you are a career woman and you really, enough, let's say you are enough, you would actually look for a man who is above you, as we said.
Who's above you, yes.
Yeah. So, and you want the man to take care of you. And normally,
but this is what we say.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, I say this myself as well, that I've done too much for myself.
Yeah.
Every car that I've owned, it's true. Every car that I bought myself. There was no input from a man to say, no, he's doing the deposit for me or whatever. I did all of that for myself. Like, everything I've done, whether it's my education, whether it's my residence, I've done everything by myself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not because that's what I chose, but just, you know, circumstances pushed me to it. So if anyone is going to come into my life, Mike, they need to add value.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they need to add value. Again, you know, at some point
I forget, when you said that you need to add value, and that's where, you know, the men, when it comes now to women that are not really successful, that are successful career-wise, you know, and let's say they're earning more than what they do, that's where now they see, I'm probably not adding value to this person. You know, adding value could be many things, you know. It's not
could
just
be many
about,
things, yes, yeah.
It's
yes.
not just about
it's not,
you know,
just the finances,
finances, you know. But for me to be in control, okay, and I'm talking from a man's point of view, you know, for a man somehow to be a leader, they would like to make decisions, and much of those decisions are now dictated by your financial status. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that now to be a leader, you know, now your leadership position now is dictated by your financial state, by your financial position in the in that relationship.
Yeah.
You know, if the car we drive is yours, you know, at any time when you see me driving that car with somebody in the car, you kind of like,
ooh.
Oh, this is what I get with him. No, she gave away.
Yeah.
Or do I teach him, you know?
Yeah.
You know, then I'm still, I don't exercise that leadership role. You understand?
But you know, but this is exactly what we're saying, Mike, that it doesn't have to always be financial. Do you respect me enough as your woman to not do that, to not get other women into the car? Because why are you doing that?
No, I'm just saying, that's
yeah, no, but that's an example, but then it's just one of the many, many things, you know?
Yeah.
How are we, and this is what I'm saying, you know, are we able to maintain our roles as men and women in this relationship to be able to look past the financial contributions?
Yeah.
And have the other qualities be highlighted.
Yeah.
Right.
Would we say then, giving all this dynamic and variable, so can we say we need to have a mindset? We have to have a different mindset to.
There needs to be a paradigm shift, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So even from a woman point of view, looking at yourself at this point in time to say, this shouldn't be a barrier. Because this can play in our on our mind. You understand?
Yeah.
And when we overcome that, it will bring different results in our lives.
But you know, that is the ideal situation.
Yeah.
And this is what is frustrating, because again, like I said, some of us have actually actively opted for the, you know, lesser than. And I said this because of a lack of a better word.
Yeah.
But you know, lesser than. But it, because the paradigm shift is not, it did not happen at the same time or at the same pace, now end up with someone who is still in that, because I'm not providing for financially now, that's why she treats me like that, or that's why, or, you know, is it because it's your car? Because, but honey, I didn't even mention anything about the car. All I said is, please take the fuel.
Yeah.
That's all I said. And that is a general thing. Even if it was your car that I was driving, because I know I didn't stop at the fuel station, I will say, please check the fuel.
Yeah.
Right? But because of you, not the man now, not shifting in terms of his self-worth and all of these things because of whatever position that he finds himself, that will always be a barrier. So the paradigm shift, unfortunately, unless you are fortunate enough to find one who at the same time has experienced that shift, so that you can actually complement each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
It becomes a challenge.
That has to take place on both sides. You understand?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think from a man point of view, I think we have to understand that many women now at this age understand themselves better, understand their need better, and have a clear idea of what they want in a partner compared to, because they have gone through, through that already.
Yeah, we've been through it. Mike, we have been through it.
And that can be, for a man that can be scary, not scary in a sense of, because of what you know, what you want, that's where now, am I able actually to meet up to what you kind of coming to me with all this demand because you know exactly what you want. Do you understand?
Yeah. And this is what I said, the challenge is of finding a partner at this age, because you've established yourself in your singleness. You did not establish yourself in a partnership.
Yeah.
Establishing yourself in a partnership, that is who you become. Your identity is formed within that environment. Whereas now my identity is formed outside the relationship, and how does a man, and I really understand the challenge that men face, how does a man then now come because traditionally I'm supposed to submit to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you are this, you know, this is why they say, you know, you need to straighten the tree while it's still young, because now this is a whole big tree with roots and stem and everything thick and established. How do you then carve it or move it or maneuver it to suit your liking, if I can say? Right. Not that it's just about the man. No, yeah. No. Please don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, but how do you, as a man, have this woman become the woman that you want her to be? And this is, I guess, why, like you said earlier, this is why they then look at the younger one.
Yeah.
Because with the younger ones, they have that opportunity, and it's much easier.
Yeah, but the other thing also, the older woman, what as we talk about it, they're just a reference to what we're talking about. They know what they want. So it's also they're looking for somebody who knows what they want. As a man, you must know what you want and what you look for.
Yeah, no, I mean, guys,
the only way the woman would follow.
Yes, because I can't be teaching you what to do in life at this stage.
Exactly.
No, I mean, at my age, I've got children, okay? So now I'm mothering my own children, and I should mother you as well. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So if you can't, like, I am here to support you, but I'm not here to make you. No. You need to know what you want so that I can help you stand with you and build that thing that you are already building, because it's there. Mm. But it's not for me to come and say, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? No, Mike, no.
Yeah.
Right? And then again, this is where those comments come. Yeah, is it because? Is it because? No, it's not because. It's because you are sitting on your bum and you're not doing anything and you want me to be doing things for you.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
So
and that is a challenge.
Yeah. No, that's a challenge. And I think the point that I want us to make actually at this point, it's changing priorities that at this age, women at this age really know what they want.
They do.
And knowing what they want, they become more selective.
Very.
Yeah. And because they have been there, they know where they're going. And sometimes if a man haven't gone through that journey, would actually see this as demanding,
controlling,
because you kind of like, you're not meeting what I want. You understand? And then when it comes to us, it's like, okay, controlling and demanding and what all this, because you are not living up to what she wants. You understand?
She wants. Yeah,
because it's kind of like at the point, I'm not tolerating, I have boundaries now. I'm not tolerating that.
Yeah. And those boundaries are real, hey?
They become real because you don't have time.
No, and that is the thing. Yeah. Like, there's literally no time.
Yeah.
You know, for me right now, getting to meet someone, I was listening to this interview and I absolutely loved it. And he says, why must I only find out that you are in date on date 5. No, I'm supposed to know this. We don't have time for that.
Yeah.
These are things that I'm supposed to know by date 2, date 3. You know, because literally the time is just not as available.
Yeah.
As it's
not on your
been.
Side. When you are young, you can get into this relationship and get into the other and you still have a time.
No, and you have time to play around. And right now, by date 5, we know whether we're doing this or not. And there's really nothing wrong with saying, oh, you know what, I really like it, but it's not work. I don't think we are aligned. And you move on.
Yeah.
We're not going to waste 6 months. Oh, no, we're not doing that. We're not wasting 6 months in apparently getting to know each other and we like each other like that. No. Yeah. If you like each other, you tell me, you know what, Dunge, I like you. Mike, I like you too. Okay, fine. What do you want? No. I want 3 kids. No, I only want 5. No, I want 2 or whatever. Okay, let's compromise to whatever. You know, those discussions happen almost immediately.
Yeah. This is one thing I normally said to a woman who is above 25. I said, if you are in a relationship, for how long you have been in a relationship? About 5-6 years, and you haven't got married, that's actually your fault. You understand? I said, that's your fault. But because by over 25, you should know what you want. And definitely, and be able to communicate it.
Yes.
Be able to communicate it, you know? So, because if you, maybe a man is enjoying in a relationship that have no commitment. Yeah, but that's not what you're enjoying. That's not what you want. If that's not what you want, communicate it.
Are you communicating it?
Yeah. Are you communicating?
And not just communicating it, Mike. Are you actually stern about it to say, if this doesn't change, I'm walking out.
Exactly.
And be able to walk out without fear. Because the other thing now is, and this is also another reality, Mike, is that our children are seeing us single, right? They're seeing our, their mothers and their aunties single, not married, you know, doing everything on their own.
Yeah.
So, you know, there could be a level of trauma to say that, you also, if I now push this man into a commitment and he's not ready, maybe I'll end up like my mama, end up like my auntie, you know? So that could also then be a contributing factor. But we need to, I feel, as women, teach our girls to say, no, you need to stand up.
You need to stand up
and communicate what it is that makes sense to you in a relationship and what not.
Yeah. So the other thing, it's something just you mentioned now. It's maybe alluding to the baggage, or maybe one can call it the wisdom, from a previous relationship. You know? Yeah, the fallout from the past marriages, a long-term maybe relationship that break up, or a significant, you know, heartbreak. So, because women in this age group, they might have this emotional baggage.
Yeah, that's true.
And that can also influence, you know, how you as an individual really, you know, make choices.
Yeah.
Or create the boundaries, because it's based on the trauma, heartbreak. And in the way, it might not really help you.
That's true.
Mm.
That's true. And this is why healing is important. And healing now, this is key.
Yeah.
Absence, you know, absence of dating does not equal healing.
Yeah.
Because just because I didn't go into a bar does not mean that I've dealt with my alcoholism. Because the moment that I get into a bar, then So it's not staying away from the dating pool or game. It's actually dealing with whatever it is that you had experienced that had caused you trauma.
Yeah. It's not the absence.
It's not the absence of dating. No, it's not the absence of it. Because you will find that I was single for 2 years because, you know, after my last relationship, and then you get into the next relationship after 3 years of being single, but you are still going through the same things because you haven't dealt. Right? So we need to, and this is also just for men as well, like you mentioned earlier, that because of what they've gone through, they now are running away from commitment, because the truth is, what we've experienced is that men's pain threshold is not the same as women. You cheat on a man once and he is scarred for life. Right? Whereas women can experience this time and time and time. Right? So the healing needs to really take place. And this comes, like I said, from both sides. We both need to heal before we want to get into something new with someone new.
Yeah. No, that's a very important aspect.
Yeah.
Because then you are a damaged good.
You are, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, you really are. And one bad apple spoils the race.
Exactly. So you need to deal with your devils before you get into a new relationship.
Otherwise
that would resurface if you haven't dealt with it. Yeah.
What do they say? Bleeding people bleed on others. Because if you are bleeding, like, you know, blood is running. Whoever you come and whatever you come in contact with will have stains of blood. So you are going to cause bleeding onto the next person. And we don't want that.
Yeah.
So we cannot run away from that truth. And oftentimes people go into binge dating because, well, I don't have time for this and I am strong. And no.
Mm.
Can we recognize that something happened? It hurt me. It caused some damage to whatever extent or level. It doesn't matter how deep or how shallow. but can we deal with it accordingly so that we become full and whole for the next person? Because you want that person to be full and whole when they come to you, so you'll be the same for them as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The other issue also, when it comes to women in their late 30s and 40s, is the issue for having children. You know?
Oh, wow.
the complexities of co-parenting.
You are co-parenting
and, you know, you want to date at the same time. You know?
Yeah.
And this honestly adds another layer to dating dynamics.
It's so true.
Making
it's
so it more, true. more difficult to find someone who is open to both relationships.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So that complexity is also, something maybe one have to look into. Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes difficult and it becomes scary.
Yeah.
Does it
play on a woman's mind, though?
Of course it does. Mm. Of course it does. And more so for us, I think, as women than men, because, we get very emotionally attached quickly compared to men, right?
Mm.
So now I'm with you, and, do I introduce you to my kids? Do I not introduce you to my kids? You know what's going on?
Yeah.
But then how many, again, are you open to my kids? And then also, how many people am I introducing to my kids?
Yeah.
Mm. Right? You know, so that's also another thing as well.
The risk of introducing you and we didn't go any further.
Exactly.
And then get into some, okay, find another one again and introducing them and,
But now the opposite is also, you know, you can also flip the coin and say, now I don't introduce you to my kids and this thing gets serious. But then now you and my kids don't get along when I eventually bring you 2 years later.
Yeah.
Then what?
Yeah.
Because I know of marriages that actually have complete, or not marriages, but relationships. And yes, sometimes even marriages, that just could not work because the spouse and the children would just not get along.
Yeah.
So, you know, when is it safe? When is it a safe time to introduce your two worlds to each other?
Exactly.
And unfortunately, you know, for people like myself, the first thing you're going to know about me is that I've got children. And if you're not down for that, it's okay. I need to respect that. And let it go. So I don't even think that the issue of the person not being open to children should be an issue to be dealing with, because you need to, as a parent of those children, know and acknowledge that these are, you know, it's a package deal. And if the person is not open to that, then they really have no space in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, so and the other thing also, we touched on a little bit of going down, the dynamic of dating young men, you know. That also goes with especially the...
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The eye.
okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi totanjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nuneuto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngejepa omarudi tayo loka okone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoili nawa ninge patafano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
We had some hiccups a little bit, and we are back. Hopefully you, it was just when the music was playing. So okay. Let's just maybe round up a little bit. Now, so there are also some, I think, psychological and self-perception, when it comes now to, we're focusing on women, but we're also talking about men as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow, there are those who feel that, being in that age group, this works against them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially in a society where that places so much on a youthful beauty, for example. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so how do we then address that? How do we then overcome these barriers, reclaiming our confidence and actually challenging really the societal norms? How do you see that?
That is so real. Issues of self-worth come into play, and feelings of being undeserving. And also just starting to feel like your life is dimming. And unfortunately, some of these things we need to take a stand as an individual to start working on, to say, but my worth and value is not dictated by my age.
Mm.
My beauty is not dictated by my age, but rather my perception, my self view.
Yeah.
How do I see myself? Who do I say I am?
Yeah.
And based on that is who I present myself to the world, and that is then who the world will start seeing.
Yeah.
Right? And also, it doesn't matter what the world sees you to be, because the world could actually be seeing you for who you actually are, this amazing person. But if your self-perception, if your self-view and self-worth and all of these self are corrupted and completely dented, it becomes a problem, because then you can never actually blossom into your full self.
Mm-hmm.
So that particular one like I said, it's psychological. Yes, we have the external variables that come to play, but internal the internal is a very, very strong key to how then everything on the external plays out.
And that's very, very important to understand. So, because understanding the where you are at internally, it's normally what you're projecting to the reality.
What people accept. You know, I'm going to use the example of Whoopi Goldberg in terms of beauty standards. You know, she didn't meet it. And whatever pressures that she had as a young black woman entering into, you know, such a career, there was a lot of pressures on her, and she spoke openly about these things. You know, to do alterations on her to make her more presentable and to you know, and she blatantly refused, and she came, she showed up in her full authentic self, and this is what the world came to accept. Because from the word go, she stood firm to say, this is who I am. I am not bothered with what your interpretations or standards of supposed beauty and acceptable beauties are. Right? So that should actually be really everyone's stand to say, yes, I am 42. Yes, I'm divorced. Yes, I've got three children, but I am still a catch.
So there's also a rise, which we haven't touched much on, the rise of social media has made, especially when it's come to our physical appearance, it has made that even more important when it's come to dating, especially for women, you know?
But you also see, Mike, that the contrary is also true. There are also alternatives, and I'll say alternative standards of beauty that are now also being highlighted through social media as well. People are taking a stand, and they're taking social media as a tool to educate and to re-educate. Society of what they would deem to be acceptable and unacceptable. Because what do you mean my nose is too big? What do you want me to do about my nose? The Zambian lawyer that was brutally attacked a few weeks ago, and she stood up, and a lot of women came to her support, not just women, but, you know, men as well, came to her defense to say, what do you want? What, you know, how does her appearance make her less than? So social media, fortunately, and I salute it for it, you know, people have become so blunt in fighting the fight from all ends, right? So the pressures that could have been there are now being somewhat nullified. And just, you know, the fires are being put out slightly, giving everyone enough room to breathe and say, you know what, if I have alopecia, for example, it's okay for me to walk around with my bald head. If I have, you know, whatever form of skin condition, if I still am beautiful and I'm acceptable. People are out there on social media and they are, I don't want to say advertising these, but they are making it known that standards of beauties are not just it's not a singular line. There are various standards.
Now, given where we are and much of what is spoken about, what we talked about, how do we redefine? I'm looking at this. How do we redefine maybe romance or relationship, especially, you know, for now women? So that means it's about 60 minutes. Let me just quickly get her back, and while we let's have quicker music, and then we get her back to just have the final word. Malaika, tla uphe amandla. Mm-hmm. All right, that's Malaika. Yes, you're back. I didn't want it you just to go like that. All right. Now, looking at some of the aspect that we talked about, I was actually kind of asking you, how do we redefine a relationship at given now? Looking at, first of all, looking even at traditional relation structures, the expectation from the tradition, you know, and how do we impress? Maybe there's a time that we also have to impress, you know, the single life, you understand?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Focusing on our personal development, our career, our friendship, rather than feeling pressured to settle down. So how do we then overall redefine, you know, dating, especially for women found in this age group?
Can I be honest and say, for me, that's where the problem started, when we started redefining things.
Yeah.
But then also, it's almost inevitable because of, you know, the dynamics change, right? Again, women before were not educated, were not independent, now they are. So there needs to be some level of redefinition of something.
Yeah.
I think what the challenge is then, it is the imbalance of the roles and the empowerment of the sexes.
Yeah.
Right? And I've been crying as a mental health professional, I've been crying about this for the longest, that, you know, there's so much empowerment for the girl child, that we're not creating an equal level playing field for the male child.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing the consequences thereof, because the male child now, or the girl child now, which is now us, we now are, you know, up strong and mighty and almost very masculine, and we've not done anything to prepare the male child
in dealing with that masculine vibe that you bring.
Exactly. So, as much, you know, the same way that there was this huge campaign towards empowering the girl child, something needs to now happen to create some, you know, we need equity now, so that we can balance the situation and make things make a bit more sense for both parties. Because otherwise, we will stand with a situation where, you know, she is completely independent, and he feels intimidated by her.
Yeah. But it's also looking at what are the things that we're magnifying, you know, in life? Because sometimes it's come from a tradition where we believe, you know, when you are study hard, and once you finish your school, be a teacher, be a nurse, and then get married, have a family, you know, that create a really a good fabric, maybe of a society. But we also then have to look at what is that we need to magnify that also, given that we are living in a different environment, different as society with a different dynamic altogether. So then we also then have to look at, this group of people in our society. What is that we can magnify, you know, as success, you know, for such a group? Yeah.
Wow, that is a very, very profound question.
Okay.
What do you think?
No, I believe that we need to break stereotypes. That it's not too late for anyone, even for women in their 30s and in their 40s. To find love. That's one thing I have to say. It's not too late.
Yeah.
Okay. So we also then have to kind of like develop values that we look for in what we look for in a woman that we want to marry, in a woman that we want to have in a relationship, rather than looking at age. You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and.
But this goes both ways then. Then it should also be for the same with men.
Exactly.
That what am I looking for in a mate?
Yeah.
As opposed to his financial status or his age.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Yeah, there are things that we can do as a society as well, and we need to learn how to tolerate as well. Yeah. So that's one thing that we need to tolerate as well. We need to learn, as I said, and exactly what you're saying, we need to instill new value in a boy child.
Yeah.
You know, because we have now a stronger girl child.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you then, the boy child, you know, see this as a value, not as a challenge?
As opposed to
a threat. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where we need actually to move into, and it requires a lot of mind shifting and mindset.
There's a lot of work. Mm. Again, the same way that there was so much invested in empowering the girl child.
Yeah.
I honestly feel that the same effort needs to go in creating in leveling the playing field.
Yeah.
Right. Because not only does the boy child need to be trained on how to handle this powerful woman, but the powerful woman also needs to be taught on how to be powerful yet meek.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So that she can operate both in her acquired masculinity, and I say this deliberately like that, but also embrace her femininity.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Because right now we are very masculine. We are buying our own houses. We are buying our own cars. We are looking after our own children ourselves. We are taking ourselves to school. Do you get what I'm saying? So we are very masculine in our operations.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And which doesn't make you an attractive to a man, because you are like a dude now to us.
Because you and I are changing tires. I mean, God forbid I'll never change a tire, but I'm saying, you know. But we are a dude, because what you are failing to do for me, I can do for myself. I don't need you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you understand? So you become disposable to me when you become a nuisance at whatever, however I want to define nuisance. Right?
No, thank you. Thank you for really making time and discuss this very, I remember at one point we were discussing this and I realized, we need to get this, we need to get into detail about this. We need to talk about this on air. Yeah. And, thank you for making time and for.
No, thank you for having me and actually trusting my personal opinions on some of these matters.
I'm very glad that you all even make a reference to yourself. And this is what we want. We want actually people who experience, exactly.
Because it's real. It's real. You know, Mike, and I say this genuinely, whatever platform I'm invited on, I don't think it really sells anything.
Yeah.
If I am going to be overly academic, right? Because you've read the books, but I'm experiencing this and I'm experiencing, people need to know that, you know what, you're not alone in this.
Yeah.
You know, you see me on television, you hear me on the radio, but I'm facing the same, you know, fires that you're facing. So how are we going to get together and actually make this work for each other?
Yeah.
How do we support each other? So, yes, thank you for actually acknowledging that and actually saying it's okay to share.
Yeah.
Because it's not just academic, it's not just statistics, but it's life and it's real.
All right.
No. Yeah.
Well, dating in your late 30s and early 40s is different, not harder, just different. you have lived, you have learned, and you have clearer. Then you are much clearer than ever on what you want. And I think that's the difference. So thank you for making time, and thank you for sharing that with us as well.
Thank you for having me, Mike, really.
All right. Okay. That was Ndunge. Frida Dunge Yambo. Looking at the topic that we had today, dating in your late 30s and early 40s, that the pool, the dating pool, the dating market become smaller and smaller. You're welcome to come through. You can give us a call. A very good morning. Welcome to Mind Meta.
Good morning, Mike.
Yes, Ango Buena.
We just did my last presentation. Not last presentation. What do I say now?
Yeah.
This will be the presentation that I will say is so has been really transformed me.
Yeah.
For the year, I think so. How do you say it when you, because you were talking about your the last date of your when you were born in the end of December.
Yeah.
And I also appropriate this presentation with the esteemed guest who was your guest there.
Yeah.
I got her name, but I did not write it down.
It's Frida. Frida Yambo. Yeah.
Oh, Frida Yambo.
Yeah.
Frida Yambo. Okay. I think it maybe it's my first time to listen to her. I don't know.
Yeah. No. She speak quite a lot on MBC on other
platforms. Oh, yeah. So what I can I thank God for her. Yeah. And I'm very pleased to have listened to our presentation, and I got a lot.
Yeah.
So, most of the issue that you have mentioned, I think we are experiencing these things from when you look at them from a gender perspective.
Yeah.
Whether it's us or all of us having this fear. But one thing that I want to perhaps touch also on is women, as they are just natural human beings like us.
Yeah.
Okay. And I understand when you talk about our cultural beliefs.
Yeah.
The way our cultural and traditions practice. Sometimes they really they harm women, for example, like in this aspect that I'm going to say now. So there is no law, not even a natural law, that says a woman cannot propose a man for marriage, for example.
Yeah.
So whether if you do it with wisdom,
yeah,
whatever you do it, because the culture, and it's very painful. If a woman comes to you and say, "Tate Bwana, me, I love you.
Yeah,
I love your character. I love your behavior. Those other things that I might not have known." We know it from day one, day two, like Nene Freda said.
Onkaranoa put to the paper that you onkai no one language she gave up. We know you're sitting out, man. You know you're sitting back in that thing.
Those are contradictions, actually.
Yeah, this is exactly what we said at the end. What we said, look, we need to rethink, you know, how we redefine, you know, this kind of things in our modern world today. So, no, you're right. I mean, we need to rethink this kind of
thing. The mention of re-education, reorientation, and all these other things.
Yeah.
Some of these things, practices that we really embrace, they harm us.
Yeah.
And they also deprive us from having good wives, actually, good two partners.
Exactly. Some people who genuinely love you, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Somebody, why should you feel so intimidated by your wife or your partner who is a female and she has got money and she can sustain you? I'm not advocating for a spirit of you now because your wife is... You must be, you know, before you came, we had a conversation with one of the female counterparts.
Yeah.
And this is, and we're talking about what Meme Frida was talking about.
Yeah.
Meme Ayamba was talking about. So you have this car and your boyfriend, especially we men, we do it.
Yeah.
And that was my argument, was that why should you have a man who is actually driving your car, a nice car, and then you are working from 8 yeah. or 7 to 5.
Yeah.
And you are saying that your husband, your wife is not, okay, let's just know your husband is a different thing. Maybe your boyfriend, who should be your husband actually in the near future.
Yeah.
It's he's driving
not
your
car. He's not picking you up. Yeah.
It's not, he's driving your car.
Yeah.
When he's dropping you at work, and then you go to Sabine, and the person was making a reference to a cuckoo.
Yeah.
A cuckoo and where he's dreaming with others and things like that.
Yeah.
And then I suggested, and that person at the same time is going to have another woman driving in your car. It has been happening.
Of course, that does happen.
So now, some of those things, honestly speaking, and then the women end up now on the receiving side. It's very difficult to get your age. Even if you don't get your age, you're not in the age as such, but somebody who can really align his or her interest, your concern,
yeah.
And no, then have
we will never find a perfect life like that way.
Let's not forget about, don't say perfect.
Yeah.
Because we are all so imperfect, but just to get somebody that we can really, it's just difficult.
Because the one thing that we do, we I think that also comes in the way we think. There is no life made for you out there that you just go and fit into it. You create that life. The two of you have to create the kind of life that you want. You know, that's the only way you can actually have the life that align with your values and with your goal. You create it. There's nothing made for you. You just fit into it like that. No, definitely not. Yeah.
And you know, we men, you know, those young ones who are competing with our good and quality women and wives to be. And these young ones are coming to deceive us. You understand? You know, like she said, they just come and say, yes, you today and me and you.
Yeah.
Today is me and you. You as a man now, you are going into that kind of relationship. You know already that this girl, there's no way she can be. She will not even take care of my children.
She's after what she's after. So it's up to you to decide now. I'm not interested. So you still have a decision to make.
Yes, I understand you. You are not interested. But the nature is also calling. And when the nature is calling, this woman that you know already, even in your mind, you know, you are perceiving that, yes, this already cannot be my wife. But if you meet those ones of that caliber, like Frida is describing, for example, if you meet those ones, and then you know already that, even if you, no matter how, whether it's physical comportment or some kind of character that you have known that person, whatever, what he has attracted to you, you know that this woman, this could be a woman, a wife.
Yeah.
Those other ones you know already that they cannot be. But you are still cling to them, actually.
Yeah.
So it's not that choice or whatever. So it's just very difficult. And I don't know why, in my conclusion now, I don't know why the men, we have stored that fear.
Mm.
That fear. If I get an educated woman, in fact, we were talking about with Francina about Ongoroke fear.
Yeah.
Gasnana me fear about Bukucha, you know what, she can't even talk about Bukucha. She doesn't have a Moshua Mushi for all about Bukucha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Charles, if you get that particular person there who does not have a child, there's nothing wrong with that. But to me, that marriage or love relationship, somehow it will not be sustainable.
Yeah.
Because the society will also come in and say, oh, what are you doing? What are you waiting for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why are you not producing the child? So especially when it's happening on the side of the women.
Yeah.
So they say,
All right.
So thank you very much. I love that impressive and then that lesson. Yeah. It's so educative.
All right.
But we are also having it very difficult to get to those kind once you get to this level. But I got to help.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
No, thanks for coming through, yeah?
Welcome, sir.
All right. 0833-66091. We're coming to you live from Ondangwa studio. In case you want also to come through and share your experience and your life journey, because that when we share our life journey, and that's also what, you know, what Ndunge, what Frida actually, in some cases, she share her own experience, exactly. And that's what we want to, you know, we learn from that. We learn from doing that. And hopefully her insightful, her insight has helped you to understand where you are and the challenge that we're facing. Especially, we're talking about, men and women. Let me put it this way now. Who may be re-entering into the market, and especially who find themselves at that age group where now the market, the dating market, becoming a little bit smaller and smaller. And we talked about some issues that that making this situation more complicated, that making it more complicated. First of all, we're also looking at there are sometimes, you know, this is a pressure that is given, a pressure that actually given to women and also to men. This is not only to women, but also to men. When you reach a certain age, when you are now in your 30s, when you are now in your 40s, you know, the parents started, you know, the family started asking, friends started asking, you know, questions. Hey, my friend, you know, when are you going to, you know, when are you going to propose? When are you going to have a... When are you going to have a child? When are you going to have a wife? When are you going to have a husband? So all this question started, and it gives you that pressure. And sometimes you make a decision actually not based, you might not even be ready. Okay? That also happened, that it put so much pressure on some people. And I remember actually talking to someone in a counseling sessions where he felt that he's not actually in the position to get married. And he was actually now he was really under this extreme pressure to get married. The pressure was also, the lady was actually from, also from some of those churches, you know, where the ladies actually in some of these churches where we cannot be together if we can't be married. So there was also even some kind of a limit to when we cannot be 6 months or whatever a year as just boyfriend. We're living in sin. We need to get married. There was kind of a pressure. But the man didn't have much actually hasn't really established himself to even get married. He doesn't even have a house. It doesn't even have, you know, he has a decent job, but, you know, he doesn't have even a house where that if we get married, I have a house where we can go into live and all that. So to the point where I talked to him once, just once. And after after a week or so, I had it take his own life, you know, take his own life. We're talking about that's how, you know, this cultural pressure, this biological clock pressure things, you know, really pushes people, can influence people's choice, can influence people's dating preference, can influence even their overall mindset when it comes to relationship. That's very, very important that we need to understand. Yeah. So this, kind of pressure is real, and sometimes pushes to people where they become isolated, where they become stigmatized as well, especially when you find yourself in those age group. So let's have a music break, and then when we come back, if you can also come through, I mean, you're most welcome to come through as well, and have your say, have your comment, have your reaction to the discussion. If there's something that have touched you or something that you don't agree with, or you just have some additional things that you want to share as well, you're most welcome to do that. Okay, so otherwise, I didn't finish. There was a song that is playing for Malaika. We didn't finish this song. Let's go to... Mr. Vegas, the voice of Sweet Jamaica. No. I love that song. heard about Brenda Fassie and Noma Kanjani. Let's have Brenda Fassie, Noma Kanjani.
Yeah. things around you. Bring tears to your eyes. And all that's around you are secrets and lies. I'll be your strength. I'll give you hope. Keeping your faith when it's gone. The one you should call. Standing here all alone, and I will take you in my arms and hold you right where you belong until the day my life is through. This I promise you. I promise you.
Welcome back. So this is Mind Matter. You know, the program that comes to you every Saturday from 11 to 1 o'clock. And we're always looking at those, you know, aspects in your life. Those aspects in your life that has to do with your mind. You know, especially, you know, things that have to do with your well-being, with your emotional and psychological well-being. Those are the things that we're looking at. So today we were looking at this topic of what happened when your dating market actually start to grow thin, and particularly we're looking at a woman in the age group of late 30s and early 40s. Because they find themselves in a situation this situation. I want you to understand this. Okay, well, how many minutes we have? We're still about what? So it's already 1 o'clock. Where was I? Oh my good Lord! All right. That's actually bring us to. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't paying attention at all because I wanted. I wasn't paying attention. No, we have actually come to the end of the. Of the show this morning. And as I said, dating in your late 30s and early 40s is different. Not harder, it's just different. Because you have lived, you have learned, and you are clearer. Much, much clearer than ever on what you want. And sometimes that can be very intimidating. So when it comes to dating, because you know exactly what you want. So women at this age, they don't date to fill the void anymore. They don't date to fill the void. They date to add value. And that's one thing that Yambo, said that, Frida have mentioned. So, and the beauty is, Once you stop stressing about timelines and expectation, you actually start to attracting people who respect who you genuinely are. And I wish you that you find that beauty that is within you, that any person, you know, regardless of what age you are, that any person can love, any person can be attracted to. And as also she mentioned, maybe we need to look at this differently. We also need now to educate our men, first of all, to understand that we live in a different world now where as much as we need to be the breadwinners and the head of the family, which is it, sometimes depending where we are and situation we find ourselves, we find that sometimes women are more powerful economically and also in a society they could be more powerful than you are. You know, why would that be a problem? All right? So why would that be a problem? If they can love you, if they can respect you, if they can honor you as their king in their life, in their life. So those are some of the things that we need to relook at how we see, you know, how we define romance and relationship in our time. So thanks for tuning in and thanks for listening. And I will invite you to continue listening. So normally is Elizabeth Ward that's coming up as we come towards the end of the year. So many things changes. And so, yeah. So hopefully, is Elizabeth Ward coming up, and I wish you a good listening, because she can be very, very explosive. So, all right. For me, Mike Chiavelli, I really wish you a very good Saturday. And a good weekend. So rest and celebrate. Celebrate much of the vote counted, completed. Some are completed. So celebrate, but just this is not. It's not just a celebration. That's a beginning. You know, that's a beginning of real hard work. And please, you know, people put you there. You know, to attend. To really look into the issues that they are going through, to look at the pressing issues that community is experiencing. Don't see this as an opportunity now to be called honorable, you know, and forget, you know, who put you there and forget who actually put you. And you forget quickly. My brother, we know this. You can forget very, very, very quickly. So it's a time that we turn the tide. That we really, you know, see the plight of our people and be able to really fight for our people. And this is, it shouldn't be something that we need to think twice. It should grow into our DNA as Namibian that we want to see a difference. We want to see things changing in our country. So all the best. And still we're waiting for all other constituency to finish and to complete. And we wish everyone a very good luck for those who have been were winners. And we hope that, you know, you bring those the difference that we want in our country. So from Mike, from me, Mike Oshavelli, all the best and have a great weekend.